In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel lesson, we hear about a man coming up to Jesus to ask a question that's been asked many times before. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, have you ever heard a question that has another question behind it? A question like, are you going to eat that last brownie? This is a question like that. The man, at a deeper level, isn't really concerned about how many people are going to be saved. What he really wants to know is, will I be saved? Will I be saved? Now, this man's been listening to Jesus preaching. He's heard Jesus forgive and heal. He's heard Jesus say that he's come to save all of mankind. But not long before the words that we hear in the gospel lesson, this man also heard Jesus say twice in a row, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You see, at an even deeper level, this man is asking, will I be saved as I am now? Will I be saved if I don't change? Can you hear me? Will I be saved regardless what I do or don't do? Now, what he wants Jesus to say is, don't worry about it. It's easy to be saved. No sweat at all. Why? So many people are going to heaven that they might even realize that they're Christians until they get there. With an answer like that, the man could breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that he doesn't need to suffer for being a Christian. He doesn't need to strive against temptation. He doesn't need to struggle against his sinful flesh with its evil habits. He doesn't even need to give up his favorite sins. It's easy to be a Christian. All you have to do is show up here at the clubhouse and give the secret handshake, right? He's asking, will I be saved if I still hang on to my sins? Remember that. Will I be saved if I still hang on to my sins? That's the real question that Jesus answers. Jesus knows it's the real question because Jesus knows what's in man's heart. He knows because it's in all of our hearts. It's our old man who's asking that question. Our sinful flesh that never wants to let go of its pleasure. Our old Adam who's looking for any loophole he can find, any justification he can find for staying right where he is, in the comfortable mire and filth of his own sin. So Jesus answers our question. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he will answer, I do not know where you come from. Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he'll say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. It's like this. Imagine this somewhat silly story with me. Imagine that our world is like a tropical island isolated in the middle of a vast ocean. It's a fairly small island. So it's impossible to miss seeing rising up out of the center of the island this gigantic mountain with smoke coming out of the top. You see where this is going? Now, the people on this island have gotten really comfortable. They build up a resort for themselves there. But it isn't a beautiful place. In fact, it's dark, dirty, smelly, violent, a filthy place. And as you go down those wide streets, you see gaudy facades promising all kinds, every sinful pleasure imaginable. Sins of greed and gluttony and lust and arrogance and hatred and gossip. You name it, they're hawking it. Everybody's selling to everybody else. And you also look around and you notice that nobody's walking. No one can walk, but they're all going around in those little mobility scooters like you see at Price Chopper. Their baskets are loaded down with every kind of sin that can pile up. You get the picture? Others are just laying fat and lazy on the sand like beached whales, stuffed to the gills with self-delusion and self-righteousness, or else hopelessness and despair. Now, if you never think that you've gone down these streets, think again. This is where you were born. This is where your flesh feels very comfortable. Now, there's always been this huge ship docked in the harbor. Let's call that ship Christ's Church. On that ship is everything that you would ever need: the wedding feast of God, forgiveness, strength, purity, peace, true contentment, as well as the fellowship of the saints all around you. And you see that that ship has a single narrow gangplank leading up to a single narrow door in the side. That's the only way in. Now, everyone is allowed up the gangplank and in through the door, but it's so narrow that you can't bring any of your stuff. None of the sins or pleasures you fill your arms and your baskets with. You have to leave all of your sin behind. In fact, it's so narrow that you can't fit your scooter up. Someone else has to carry you. And once you're on board, every sin that ends up on your lap, tossed up from the shore, the captain of the ship takes and he tosses it overboard, never to be seen again, unless you intend to dive in after it. Now, naturally, most people see the way onto the ship and they just pass on by. Others will drop their things by the door every few weeks, go up on the ship for lunch, but then they jump ship, drag themselves overboard, flounder ashore, and then pick up all their stuff again. Some only come twice a year with family. But those folk just park on the dock to look up at the ship without getting on board. You get the picture. Here's one last piece. The captain of the ship, or let's call him Jesus. Jesus has come down off the ship and has been announcing to everyone the truth about this island. This mountain is an active, violent volcano that is about to blow. Everything and everyone who's left on the island when the volcano erupts will be swallowed up by its burning ash and fire. Nothing will survive. If you want to live, you have to get on the ship. Everyone can come, but you have to leave your stuff behind. He knows that you can't get up on the ship on your own, so he will carry each and every one of you. If you want to live, you must be on the ship before it sets sail. Now, for years, decades, centuries, millennia, Jesus preached through his prophets and apostles and pastors as he himself carried broken, crippled people on board. Finally, the day came for the eruption. On that day, the gangplank was taken up, and Jesus, the captain of the ship, shuts the door and sets sail. As the fire comes flowing down the mountain, everyone flees from it to that ship that is now well away from the dock. And they want to get on now. So they cry out, "Hey Jesus, you know me, right? I would see you all the time on Main Street. Won't you do me a favor and let me on?" Or maybe they say, "Oh, come on, I came to eat and drink with you guys at least 4 times a year. My name's still on the membership roll, right? The guest registry? Isn't that enough?" But it's too late. The day of doom has come. And they've refused the only salvation that they had because they loved their sin too much. And now, with their sin, they will perish and burn. Does that seem a little dark? It should. But it's not that far-fetched. Because we know this has happened before. Millennia ago, the entire church consisted only of 8 people, Noah and his family. For years, they preached the destruction that was coming while they built the ark. And when that last day came, Noah and his family got on the ark, and God shut the door of the ark to keep them safe from his wrath. God shut the door of the ark, and he shut out everyone who loved their sin and refused to be parted from it. And then it began to rain. This is the absolute warning that Jesus gives us all. If you are not in the church on the last day, if you don't die in the faith, if you don't die in Christ, you are doomed to fire and darkness and eternal death. This is how Jesus answers that question. Will I be saved if I hang on to my sin? No. No, you won't. You can't live comfortably in your sin. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now we come to the question that you really need answered. Will I be saved? Hear this answer. You already have been. Don't despair. Do not be afraid. Because you're not on the dock looking up at the gangplank. You don't have to glance behind you to check and see if the fire is coming for you. No, you don't live on those streets anymore. You're on the ship. You are in Christ's church. You are safe in Jesus. Jesus saw you on those streets, dirty, smelly, filthy in your sin. He came right down to you and he picked you up, throwing away all those sins you had piled up on your lap. He washed away your filth with water and with his own blood. He carried you up through that narrow door and brought you to the table, to the feast that he's had waiting for you. And here, you're surrounded by all the rest of his Christians who live here forever, who all love you, who rejoice to have you here. Here, you're surrounded by innumerable angels in festal gathering, and here, Jesus himself feeds you. Here, he gives you everything that you need to live forever. Jesus brought you into this ship, into the church, when you died and you rose in baptism. You're a child of God. And that makes y'all part of the assembly of the firstborn, those who are enrolled in heaven. And you're still here. You're still repenting of all of your sins, still confessing that you are by nature sinful and unclean. And I've heard that with my very own ears. You've heard God forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And since your faith needs to hear that again and again, he declares that forgiveness again and again and again. You're on the ship now, and no one can drag you overboard. Not your sin, not death, not the world, not even Satan with all of his demons. You are safe and secure in God's ark, God's church, God's Son. Jesus has you now. Now, how do you know? Because of how our gospel lesson began today. It says that Jesus was journeying on towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that city where he knew that he must die on the cross so that you would live. Jerusalem, that city where he knew that he would be resurrected so that you would walk on the shores of the new creation. You see, when the ship set sail, we're going to be leaving behind every evil that has plagued us throughout our lives. On that day, we will say goodbye forever to fear, to sadness, loneliness, goodbye to temptation, goodbye to addiction, to depression, to anxiety, goodbye to hunger, to violence, to war, to hatred, goodbye to sickness and weakness and death. We will maroon every evil and every demon that has ever afflicted us. When this ship sets sail at the end of the world, our old man, our sinful nature, our old Adam will be left behind forever, never to tempt or frustrate or betray us ever again. And the new life to which Jesus takes us, that new creation that he has in store for us,
is more perfect and more glorious than we could have ever imagined. That is your home. That is your future in Christ. Jesus has saved you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.